This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we have Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 who will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session
and a special feature by Livit on how to reduce your risk for type 2 diabetes with aerobic exercise. Stay tuned, you don't want to miss it.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. We are so glad you have chosen to begin this day with us.
Yes, we are excited to be here waking up with the hope that only can be found in Jesus. And we want to share that special hope with you.
Oh, and it's going to be special today. We have Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 who will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. And we're going to have a dedicated prayer session and a special feature by Livit on how to reduce your risk for type 2 diabetes with aerobic exercise. But first, this day in history.
On December 28, 1981, the first American test tube baby, a child named Elizabeth Jordan Carr, was born as a result of in vitro fertilization in Norfolk, Virginia. In vitro fertilization is a process wherein doctors fertilize an egg outside of a woman's body and then implant the developing embryo in the womb. This miraculous invention has led to the possibility of women that have missing or damaged fallopian tubes to become pregnant. One of the doctors responsible for this trendy invention was Dr. Robert Edwards, who was awarded the Nobel Prize in 2010. Soon after, several successful IVF-induced pregnancies followed, and IVF clinics opened throughout the country. Of course, IVF has faced and continues to face criticism from many in the medical community who tout the procedure as playing God. Still others see it as a breakthrough that gives women the opportunity to give birth who otherwise would not be able to.
There's another historic birth that was seemingly impossible. Many of us have heard of the story of the virgin birth. Mary, a young virgin, gave birth to the Son of God, Jesus. But did you know that this birth was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus was even born? Why did God give these prophecies? It was so that there would be no mistake, no question, that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. Here are just two of these prophecies. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 tells us, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." While the morality of IVF continues to be debated and will likely be debated for years to come, one thing is certain. The Son of God came to this earth to redeem us. He fulfilled every single prophecy concerning the Messiah, and we have no reason to doubt his amazing love and his redemptive power.
Amen. You know, according to the CDC, of the more than 34 million Americans who have diabetes, 90 to 95% of them have type 2 diabetes. That is a staggering number. Wouldn't you like to know how to greatly reduce your risk of this unfriendly disease? This morning, Loma Linda University's Livit program will be sharing a great way to reduce your risk for type 2 diabetes.
Whether it's a Zumba class, kickboxing, or going outside for a jog, aerobic exercise has several health benefits, including reducing the risk of diabetes.
Obesity affects one-third of the adult population in the United States and can lead to a host of health problems, including diabetes type 2.
Dr. David Hessinger and his colleagues studied a local running club during their 6-month-long marathon training program. What they found is in the untrained group of both males and females, there was an increase in a protein called adiponectin. So, there's good news. If you're middle-aged and overweight, you can reduce your risk of diabetes by simply exercising.
That pretty much agreed with what was already there in the literature. The difference for us was twofold. One, we used middle-aged subjects instead of college age. And two, most of the studies in the literature were done with athletes. What we found is over the course of that 6 months, there was this progressive increase.
What are the tips for today? Incorporate aerobic exercise like running, walking, or biking at least 5 times a week for 30 minutes.
What we eat is important as well.
Make a conscious effort to limit rich desserts and fast foods, and go for a more balanced, natural diet with fiber.
Because fiber is one of those things that if it's plentiful in the diet, we don't absorb as many of the calories, and we certainly don't absorb them as quickly. So you don't get that insulin spike.
There are also additional benefits to aerobic exercise.
It makes you feel good. When you're finished, it feels very good when you stop. It's related to the endorphins that are produced naturally in response to the continued challenge you put on the body. I think walking even is a good exercise. It's aerobic. Almost everybody can do that.
There's your tip for the day
on how you can live healthier longer.
Well, we have to take a short break now, but when we return, we will have the Let's Pray team joining us for prayer. Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We hope our program will make a difference in your day today.
This morning, our praying friends from the Let's Pray team are back to lead us in a season of prayer. God hears us when we pray, and friends, He wants us to pray and pour out our hearts to Him. Amen. So let's pray.
Well, good morning to all of you. And I'm glad that you are waking up with hope. Hey, my name is Chris Holland. I'm one of the hosts of Let's Pray. And just like you're waking up with hope right now, Let's Pray is on Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which means that while you're starting the day with hope here on the Hope Channel, you can end the day with prayer, praying about what God has given you hope for throughout the day. You know, I've been thinking a lot about things that have been happening in the world. And, you know, certainly coronavirus and COVID-19 has dominated the news all around the world. But, you know, when you look at the news, there's all kinds of things here in the United States. Just a few weeks ago in Oakland, Michigan, a student went into his high school and began shooting people. You know, I think about the town that I grew up in, Chicago, Illinois, where it seems like almost every weekend there are records set for the number of people murdered. You know, we read the news headlines. In Afghanistan, they're talking about the starvation of a nation. We read the headlines about other places around the world, economies collapsing, the financial markets in turmoil. We read about gas prices soaring. And you know, when we read all of these things and we listen to the news and we hear all of these things, we feel extraordinarily burdened. But now if we take it to the next level in our own personal lives, maybe we're facing a marital problem. Maybe we're facing some type of a relationship problem. Maybe we're facing a problem with a child. Maybe we're going through a health difficulty. Maybe we're experiencing our own financial burdens. Maybe you're having car trouble. Maybe you're having work problem, or maybe you're unemployed. And you know, you think about all these things and you can get overwhelmed really, really fast. You know, it reminds me of a verse that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This all relates to a simple word, surrender. You know, I can try to carry all my burdens on my own, and it's just going to make things very, very difficult for me. Have you ever had that happen? You know, maybe, and it's especially maybe for men, you know, we're lifting something, and we're lifting something that is heavier than probably we ought to be lifting, but we're not going to be conquered by this item. And so even though there may be somebody there that could help us, and by two people lifting it, it would make it extraordinarily easy, we instead do it on our own. And we struggle, and we fight, and we carry that item all by ourselves. That's how our spiritual life works. We face all these things, we read the news, and we try to carry it all ourselves, believing that Jesus intervenes in some things in our life, but not all things. But Jesus here says, take my yoke upon you. You see, Jesus, like oxen that are yoked together, wants to be yoked with us. He wants to carry our burden. He wants to make our burden light. Won't you today surrender all to him? Let's pray about this. Heavenly Father, so easy to carry all of our burdens, so easy to carry all of our problems, so easy to carry all of our troubles. But today we come and we surrender it all to you, knowing that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So please, Lord, take these things, carry them for us, give us peace, and give us hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, again, I want to remind you, hey, as you've opened your day with hope, I'm going to invite you to close your day with prayer. Let's Pray is Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Hey, God bless all of you. Back to you guys in the studio.
How are we vitalizing? Well, we have to take a short break now, but after the break, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will bring us hope from God's Word. Wake up with hope. We'll be right back.
We are so glad you have chosen to join us today at Wake Up with Hope and start your day with us. Welcome back.
As promised, this morning we have Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 who will be sharing with us this morning's devotional thought.
We continue with our series on the life of David after God's heart. And today we start with a psalm, Psalm 32. I want to read to you the beginning of the psalm. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He continues on to say that his bones were like dry when he wasn't confessing his sin. And then he continues on verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. This is a very interesting psalm. I hope you read it all. But he talks about the blessedness of when your sins are covered. So today we start with this question. What's the difference between covering your sin and your sins being covered? And I think my two figurines here are going to help us. Covering your sins is when you're trying to bury your sins and cover them. That's why this figurine has a shovel. It's a shovel. It's like if you are, trying to dig in and put your sins there so nobody knows about it. When your sins are covered is when you give your sins to God to cover them. So this one hides it. This one gives it up to God, confesses it, and asks God to cover it with his righteousness. That's the difference. They're opposite, right? And it happens to be that we use the same word in English. This one is trying to cover the sins. This one wants their sin covered. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the moment when David had a great sin. It wasn't a regular sin. And what I mean by that is we all are sinful and have sins. The difference of sin is when you are in rebellion against God. So you're trying to cover your sin, right? It's not that you're coming to God and say, forgive me all my sins and this happened today and please forgive me and cover my sins. The rebellion is when I don't want God to cover my sin. I want to cover myself like Adam and Eve did with fig leaves in Eden, right? So David was a man after God's own heart. You know, even God told Saul, King Saul, that he had found a man after his own heart that would replace him. And I read on 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Now your kingdom, says God to Saul, shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people. From there on, David will be called a man after God's own heart many times, even in the New Testament, in Acts 13:22. We have the same title for David. And David became like the model king. If you go through the first and second kings, often God says, that king is not like my servant David, who was a man after my own heart, or who did always right, or whatever. He becomes the model king. Right? God is always talking about him in a positive way. But there's one exception, and I'm going to show it to you, is in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except, there's an exception, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. And that's the story we are discussing today. And the story is told in 2 Samuel. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And what is interesting about this story is that David is already king. Everything that God had told him has been fulfilled. And he's a successful king. And God is with him. And he's a man after his own heart, after God's own heart. And he's doing good things like he did with Mephibosheth and 2 Samuel chapter 9. But then on chapter 11, 2 Samuel 11, it says, verse 2, when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, it is not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And so at that moment, you think the next verse is going to say, so David said, oh, she's married. Okay, then. No, but David did not say that. Verse 4, David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house, and in the best soap opera style, we get verse 5, the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I'm pregnant. This is the man after God's own heart that has many, many wives and concubines the way other kings used to have, but he wants that one, the one that belongs to another man, and he thinks he's above the law. And of course, she says she's pregnant. And so he tells his commander, Joab, to bring Uriah so that he can sleep with his wife and the whole thing can be covered. He's trying to cover his sin. But Uriah comes and says, I cannot go to my house. Everybody's fighting for the king. I'm not going to go and have fun at my house. So it's not working, the plan that David has. So he sends an order that they may put Uriah in the very front of the battle and get killed. So it's adultery, homicide. You know, when you're trying to cover and cover and fig leaves are not enough and you make a hole that is bigger and bigger and deeper and you're having to go deeper in your covering of your own sin. And that's what's happening to David. And the man is killed. So he sends for Bathsheba and she becomes his wife. But the last verse of 2 Samuel 11, verse 27 says, the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. He thought he got away with it because he was a king and he thought he was above the law and he's in rebellion against God. He's not confessing his sin. He's trying to cover his own sin. But chapter 12 starts by saying the Lord sent Nathan because God initiates, and when God exposes a sin, it's always to save. It's not to humiliate or to just punish. It's to save. And so God sends Nathan to tell David a story. And the story is about a man, and you can read it on chapter 12, who had many flocks and herds and many sheep. He was rich. And there was one man who only had one little ewe lamb who he loved so much and was part of the family. And when a traveler came to the rich man's house, instead of killing one of his many, many, many lambs to feed this man, he went and took the one lamb that the one poor man had. David thought it was a court case because he always, you know, had to do legal things. And he was outraged. It says on verse 5, David's anger burned greatly against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die." And Nathan says to him, the prophet, verse 7, "You are that man. You are that man. You thought you were above the law. You are in rebellion against God. You are not confessing your sin. And this is you. You've done this." And it says that David, at that moment, repented. Verse 13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And at that moment, when he confesses, Nathan said to David, "The Lord has taken away your sin." Of course, there would be consequences. The baby would die. But then something amazing happens. Not only does he repent and write the beautiful Psalm 51, but Bathsheba and David get together again on verse 24 and have another baby. And his name is Solomon, the wisest man on earth, that God gifted them with this wise man. Confess your sin. Let God cover it at the cross. He made provision for your sin. So instead of trying to cover your sin, let him cover it. If you confess, he's faithful to forgive and cleanse.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Amen. And thank you for spending time with us this morning. If you would like to learn more about Wake Up with Hope, or share us with a friend, or even rewatch some of today's program or another episode, visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning, where we will have a musical performance by Mark Prentice, an encouraging message from John Bradshaw, and the Healthy Foodie will be back with an unusual detox recipe. If you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit us at hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Well, friends, that's all for today's program. But before we go, we want to share with you today's Bible promise. It comes from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." This wonderful Bible promise reminds us that we don't need to look to anyone or anything else for our safety and comfort. If we turn to Jesus and run to him, he will always have a shoulder to cry on. He's always going to have a listening ear, a helping hand, and a place of rest. He's waiting for you today to run to him whenever you need him the most. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we're ready to begin this day because we know we have that assurance that you're with us. And we're not only going to turn to you when we need you, Lord, we want to cultivate a mindset of being with you always, at all times, moment by moment by moment. So, Lord, we're gonna keep your word hidden in our hearts today. We don't want to sin against you. We want you, Lord, to be close to us. Thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.